and oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. Oh, let us experience as good your word this afternoon. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of everybody who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow, your word, freely from you, through me, pure chalice, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, causing our wills, including my own heart, causing all our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I further pray, Lord God, to have for mercy, so I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, today, hopefully, we're going to finish this series of teachings I've been doing on the humility and the ability of the mind of Christ. In the last few weeks, we looked at the fact that the humility of Christ is the prerequisite for accessing the ability of the mind of Christ. Humility is not an option. It's compulsory. And one truth about humility is that there's no end to it. You know, up is when I'm humble. Well, you need to be more humble. Jesus, of all the things Jesus said, he said we should learn of him. He's meek and lowly in heart. You know, that word meek is sometimes almost despised in some circles because they think of a meek person as a weak person. But that's what Jesus is. He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. In one scripture, Paul, you know, talking about the conduct of the man and the woman of God, he said the servant of the Lord must not strive. See, strife is argumentative. You know, it's caused by contentious and argumentative words. No wonder why the scripture says also in the book of Proverbs, it says that only by pride comes contention. Wherever you see contention between people, either one or both of them are proud. Usually it's both of them. If one is more humble than the other, they'll be quick to stop it. Even when they are right, they'll just say, I'm sorry. Okay, let's just, you know, stop it. Whenever you see somebody continuing in argument and is argumentative and contentious, he's proud. The scripture says so. It says, only by pride. Then he tells you how the servant of the Lord should behave. He says, don't strive. He said, the servant of the Lord must strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, in meekness. Everybody scream it. I didn't hear you. Meekness. The Christ-like spirit. Instructing those that oppose themselves. That peradventure, they will come to repentance, to the acknowledgement of the truth, and recover themselves out of the snare. That's an old English word for trap. Strife is a trap. When you get into strife, all your spiritual defenses are taken from you, and Satan can enter as he wills. That's why Satan kills so many of our people. We get into strife, we don't realize it. And the thing that makes us get into strife and continue in strife is pride. The thing that will deliver us from it is humility and meekness. A meek person is not a weak person. He's a stronger person. The fact that they're quiet or they choose to take a lower position and they choose not to strive does not mean they are weak. It means they are wiser than you. Because they recognize that if they continue in that, Satan will enter. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, with the lowly is wisdom. You cannot get, that's an absolute statement. I should not make absolute statements. The degree to which you can get the wisdom of God is the degree to which your heart is meek and lowly. The more meek and lowly, the more wisdom you get. The less meek and lowly, the less wisdom you get. And that explains, dearly beloved, the lack of wisdom we see in the church and revelation. Most of our teachings and they're extremely shallow. Because most people, they're arrogant and pride. You see it in, one sure sign, indicator. Let me put it on. Is the loving of titles. Once I meet a person and they begin to bandy around titles, immediately I recognize where the spirit, the attitude that's coming from. And you find that their knowledge of the word of God is always shallow. They'll be able to bandy around. You know, quoting scripture is not the same thing as knowing the word of God. That's what happened to me this morning. I didn't remember the scripture. I knew it was Isaiah 44 somewhere, but I didn't remember it. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is to know the spirit of scripture. And you find that Jesus himself did this, and Paul did it often. If you could read the epistles, you find that Jesus would say, he will not quote the place. He will just say, this is what the scripture says. Paul will say, and it's written in some other place, It doesn't know. Sometimes he will say, it's Psalm this. But sometimes he will just say, it's... The important thing is to get the spirit of it. Keep playing that. That's lovely. They've actually programmed it, so that's good. So this afternoon, we want to continue to look at... Last week, we also began to see the ability of the mind of Christ. I gave you I forgot to ask them to do it. I don't know if they can quickly do it. David, all those guys up there, if you're fast, you can just do like a kind of cyclical illustration, And I said, let me see, where is it now? Yeah, it's here somewhere. Yeah, there it is. I would say humility, grace, life, light, and wisdom. It's a sequence. It's now I am beginning to appreciate more and more why God gave just not me, Olubi, but all of us the privilege of an education. You see, when you have a trained mind, there is more the Holy Spirit can show you than a mind who is not. That's why God took time to train Moses in the house of Pharaoh to give him a trained mind. So he could write the scriptures. And that's why God gave Paul a trained mind so he could write the scriptures. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. It wasn't as if the other people didn't have, but they would not be able to express it with the exactitude, with the clarity that Paul could do it because of his trained mind. It was revelation from God, but it came into a trained mind that could properly articulate, that could properly pontificate, that could properly set it forth, and so this same thing, because I have I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is me, because I have a trained mind of a scientist, a physicist, and an engineer, I see patterns immediately. It's humility, grace, life, light, and wisdom. And I think we close that scripture in the book of Daniel, where it says, and Pastor Andrew, that's a good one this morning, singing that in Peculiar, light. He says, talk about Daniel. They said, the light and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now, that is what the church should be excelling in. That's what John had in his mind by the Holy Spirit when he wrote the book of John. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light stands for development, wisdom. And that's why, you know, I also mentioned this. You have two epicenters of wisdom. One was the Garden of Eden. It was God also, but it had been corrupted through the fall of man and has been shrouded in demonic arts, demonic operation by principalities and powers. So it's a corrupted wisdom. It's still wisdom. Don't forget, Lucifer, well, you know, he summed up the sum of wisdom. And that's why you find a lot of the wisdom that emanates from the east. When I say the east now, I'm talking east of the Garden of Eden. You know, that's where you have the early civilizations, Egypt, Babylon, you know, and the Chinese and the Japanese and all of them. They were very, very, they're smart people, you know. And there was a lot of wisdom that they got, you know, from the garden, you know, it emanated as the epicenter from Garden of Eden. But over the centuries and millennia, a lot of those things were corrupted. That's why to access those wisdom, you had to get into one society or the other. You had to join a group, you know, the black arts, you know, and demonic operation. Then you begin to access that kind of wisdom. But it's not healthy. You know, then a second epicenter began after Jesus was raised from the dead and was really, first of all, embraced properly in the Western world after the Reformation of Martin Luther, you know, in 1517 in Germany. You know, and that's why you see this renaissance of knowledge coming, first of all, in Germany, then England, the Scandinavian peninsula. You know, go and check the history. You find, I did a research in 2005. I have an article. It's called The Light of Life. I think we've just published it recently again in one of the Daily Ramas. You know, I knew it, but I just wanted to be sure. 97% of all patents and new discoveries, this is from, I went back even before the Reformation. I went back to 1200 and something, where it was known as the Renaissance, in time of people like Galileo, 1200, 1300 and something, 1400 and something, you know, and went back to the common day. Practically all the innovation and wisdom came primarily from England and America. Of course, America is just a colony. I know my American friends don't like hearing that, but that's just the truth. America is just an extension of England. It was the same people from England that went to America, the founding fathers. Then others joined them, the Germans, the Italians, you know. And in recent times, people like us, Nigerian, we have Nigerian, Americans, Chinese Americans, Brazilian, you know, from all over the world. But the point is that original something of knowledge, that's where it came from. And you find that this actually happened in World War II. Many of the scientists that were in Europe before 1933, before Adolf Hitler took over, some of them, immediately they saw Adolf Hitler taking over, not only in Germany, in Hungary, in Czechoslovakia, top, brilliant guys. They knew that this man is not going to be okay. So they ran to America, those who could afford it, people like Albert Einstein. It was in America, where there was light, because the word of God was being preached. You know, when we preach here on Sundays, we do not realize the ripple effect that it has on the society around us. We think we're just preaching, you know, that is confined to these four walls. Far from it. It goes into the air. It goes into the atmosphere. And then it begins to affect the thinking of people. People are not even born again. That light, because they're in that geographical, you know, environment, that spiritual environment, it begins to affect their thinking, their ability to innovate, their ability to invent. You know, I this is not in my notes, but I'll just mention it and then get on with my message. I looked at myself, Olubi Johnson, not only me, you know, and my generation. When I say my generation, I'm looking at those of us who were born in the 1950s. 1950 downwards. Then those of us who were born in the 60s to, you know, up to the 70s, a little bit of the 80s, but let me just leave it like that. 50s to 60s, 60s to 70s. We're a unique generation. Very unique. Very unique. When I look back now, I now see what caused it. Our fathers really weren't born again until later on. When we got born again, then we began to explain to them, you know, although they had the Bible because of the missionaries came, they set up schools, they set up hospitals, then they made education compulsory and they would teach the Bible. So that way light began to come out. It had an effect on that earlier generation, but not much. But from the 1950s onwards, people in our generation started getting born again more. In particular, it came into University of Ibadan, 1958. People like late Professor Adeshogun of blessed memory and others, you know, late Professor Awe and others like that. You know, they decided the SU. Now, what happened was that SU movement, you know, the Scripture Union movement, began to speak God's word. They began to practice God's word. And that thing started going to the air. So the generation that came after them, or around the same time with them, something began to happen to us. Some of the most brilliant people on the earth today are Nigerians. I don't say that, you know, just trying to be patriotic. I'm saying that because it's a fact. Our people are so, and I remember myself, I experienced it. I was in Form 2, Form 3. I was kind of just like average because I used to play a lot of football and, you know, just, you know. I was smarter than anybody else. Even my classmates would tell you. In Form 3, I had an epiphany. I came into the SU thing because my seniors forced me. So they would force me to go to fellowship. So and then I think I really got born again, but kind of backslid, you know. I used to read this book, Daily Power. I can never forget it. I used to read it, you know, in the mornings, you know, just 2 minutes, something like that, you know, just then I'll go for morning prayer and all of that. I was in the boarding house. I remember I'll be walking on the road. I'll be walking and I'll be calculating mathematics. I will remember, that's how to solve that problem. It will just come to me. Yes. Tomorrow I'll be playing football. And I'll be thinking about a problem in Nelcon or Abbott. I'm serious. I'm playing football. Then I'll remember. I'll say, okay. Immediately I get home, I'll just quickly go and bring my book. It got so good. I won't say so bad. It got so good that even some of the log tables, I knew them in my mind. If you ask me for log 2, it's 0.3010. You know, because I had worked them so much. I knew the thing inside out by the grace. Looking back now, I know it's by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, when I did the mathematics and had maths in school certs, I finished 1 hour before the time. 1 hour before the time. I didn't submit though. I checked again. Then when I was convinced I had 100%, I went to submit. I had A1 in maths, A1 in... You know, what I'm saying is that it's not because I have to trace it back to its spiritual roots. You look at people like Okonjo-Iweala, people like Akin Adesina, and many others that we don't even know their names. You know, professors of medicine and all that come to University of Ibadan. You know, something happened. They get to America, and they get to England, and they go top of the class. I remember one of my cousins in England, he's a top doctor, you know. He's a gynecologist, right? You know, his boss was a white woman, you know, that me and mommy met, you know, so many years ago. This is 1997, 98, somewhere in there, you know. So she was now telling me, she said, you know, one day we went to see her, you know, and she was talking to us. She said, you know, Mr. Johnson, he said, your cousin is one of the best doctors I have ever worked with. He says he's so hardworking, he's so brilliant, he's so good, and just kept on talking about him. So when I now saw my cousin, I said, Yemi, okay, Emma Soro. I said it in Yoruba. I said, Yemi, you know, your boss was talking so well of you and everything. You know, he tried to be very, you know, humble and, you know, something. He said, Boma Emma down alone with Jari. I want to quick, but I want Nigeria. Can do laughing parry operation in Unilag. Oh, I found Anino, oh, allow our good. That's the Nigerian for you. That's a Nigerian for you. I remember another person, you know, who was working in a hospital in New York. You know, she was a nurse there. I can never forget. She said, the Nigerian doctors are the most brilliant and they're the hardest working. Nigerian doctor will walk for 12 hours at a stretch. He doesn't need to go for a break. Was he going for a break when he was in Ibadan? Was he going for a break? You know, he doesn't have to stop and drink tea. We're used to rigor. Nigeria is a great country. And the potential of Nigeria is going to come out. Don't let me go into politics. Let me just stay with the word. Hallelujah. The giant and the light of Africa. And it all began with SU. That's the root. That's the epicenter. Many of our generation, some of us, they didn't become Christians. There was people like me who kind of backslid and all of that. But the influence was there. And you see it in our thoroughness. You see it in the way we were able to. The white man came to teach us. We learned it and then we got better than the white man. Yeah. Some of our guys, I remember when I was in Imperial College. This is a true story, and I say to the glory of God, I had become a Christian by that time. You know, I was in engineering, you know, postgraduate engineering. I was in communication engineering, electrical engineering. The SU guy, the guy who was the head of the undergraduate Christian Union, he was doing physics, and you know, he was final year physics, you know, and you know, he was about my age or a little bit older than me, but because I, by the grace and the mercy of God, I graduated early, so I was 19 plus 20, you know, and so he was my friend. So I remember there was a day we were talking, I don't remember what God, and then they were telling me what they were doing in physics, you know, in Imperial College, you know. So he was saying, oh, he's having a problem with this. I said, let me see, bring it. I laughed. I said, we did this in part two when I was in Nigeria. Okay, I said, bring a biro. I said, you do this. He looked at me in awe. That's how good Nigeria is. And don't let us short sell ourselves. But it all came from God. It was that generation had a lot of light. People like us who went to mission schools, like my wife and I, you know, she went to St. Anne's, I went to CMS. You would sing these hymns, morning, afternoon, night. They will read Bible, we will pray, you know, morning, after. You can't do that for 5 years and it will not affect you. So, more humility, more wisdom. Now, today we want to look at, you know, we began to look at the ability of the mind of Christ. We began to look at two scriptures. We looked at Daniel, which I mentioned earlier on. Let's start from that. Daniel chapter 5. Am I talking to anybody here? Yeah. Daniel chapter 5. And look at verse 14. I've heard of thee that the spirit of the gods, that in those, you know, they were in Babylon, all they knew was demons, you know. But that was the way they could express it, you know. Of gods is in thee, and the light. I didn't hear you, folks. I didn't hear you. And understanding and excellent wisdom. It was God who gave Daniel that, you know. Then let's go to 1 Kings chapter 4. Where this is Solomon. Then we're going to look at this and see how God will help us. Am I helping anybody here? who's still on my side. Glory be to God. 1 Kings chapter 4. And look at verse 29. We saw this last time. And God gave Solomon. I didn't hear you. It didn't say, and demons gave him. It didn't say, and principalities gave it to him. The Bible says that now, the intention of God is that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The church has not scratched the surface of that scripture. And that is our destiny, like Pastor Andrew put in that song. That's our destiny now. And you better wake up and stop playing church. And the Bible says, he gave me largeness of heart, which just means increased mental capacity and sagacity. He's not talking about being generous, even though he really can include that. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about his mental, Solomon's mental capacity increased. He didn't have it before. He didn't have it before. When he became king, he said, God, you know, I don't know how to rule these people. You know, God said, ask me what you want. He said, give me an understanding heart. The Bible says, and God gave. Turn to your neighbor and say, like God gave Solomon, God will give you. And he will give you greater than Solomon. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Solomon's wisdom excelled. I didn't hear you. The wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt. That's a typology that says that the wisdom the church should get should far exceed the wisdom of anybody in the world. We should be getting all the Nobel Prizes every year. I remember many years ago, it stopped now, but you know, when God had mercy on Bill Gates and Microsoft was, he was the richest man for maybe about 20 years or so, you know, the first 6 or 7 richest men in the world, all of them were Microsoft. Well, Bill Gates and then all the guys who had shares in his company. Now went on for years, remember? For years. And what the church needs to do now is that between now and when Jesus comes, you know, when you look at all the list of the Nobel laureates, physics, medicine, economics, engineering, law, born again, born again, born again, born again, born again, born again, born again. And they should be coming to us to say, ah, we want to know this, your God. Now, let me move on. Having said that, I also spoke about this in my the purpose that this wisdom, before we see how we're going to get it and then close, there has a purpose. It's not just for us to show off knowledge. No. There is a reason. There is a purpose. First of all, to give glory to God, to show the superiority of the wisdom that God gives to that which the devil gives. Daniel did that excellently in Babylon. Daniel was in a class of his own. Nebuchadnezzar so respected Daniel that if Daniel said anything, he would take it, because he knew that Daniel was getting it from that they called it the gods, you know. That's how they understood. The same thing with Joseph in Egypt. The Pharaoh respected Joseph. He said, from where shall we find such a man? In whom is the Spirit of God? He said, So much as God has shown you, he said, you are wiser than all men. So anything you tell us to do, we're going to do it. That's how it should be and it will be. The politicians will come to us, say, how do we fix the economy? And we'll say, do this, do this, do this, do this. And they will do it. Hallelujah! Our hour is come. So the purpose of the wisdom, firstly, is to bring glory to God. Then secondly, to create wealth. It is that wealth that we're going to use to disciple the nations and close the age. It takes a lot of money to send out missionaries, you know, to every tribe, tongue, and kindred, to teach them the Bible. Some places, they're not even educated. Like, you know, where we went to Boma Hills many years ago, and they're still there. You know, some people are still walking almost naked. You know, the Bible is not in their language. They don't speak English. So there's a lot of work that has to be done. You first of all have to get them born again. Then we start discipling them. Then maybe teach them English where they can be taught, where the little ones among them. Where they cannot be taught, we have to find that they are native language. A lot of work is being done now by Bible translators. It takes money. Money. And I'm not talking about chicken change. I'm not talking about thousands. I'm not talking about millions. I'm talking about billions of dollars to send out the people to get the resources, because it's not just enough to get them born again. We have to disciple them. And to disciple them, we have to teach them the Bible. And for them to understand the Bible, they have to have educated minds. Yes. The Bible says that God is going to so bless us that we'll be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. You know, these are beautiful scriptures that have not yet been fulfilled. Look at Deuteronomy 28. It's this wisdom that's going to fulfill the scriptures. It's this wisdom that's going to enable us to fulfill those scriptures. Deuteronomy 28. Solomon and David only fulfilled it very little. And Jesus said, "A greater than Solomon is here." Look at Deuteronomy 28 and look at verses 10 through 13. And all the people of the earth, I didn't hear you. I want people to open their mouths this afternoon. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. I'm going to read that scripture again. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, how will they see it? They won't see it just because you have the name Christian on top of your church. They are going to see the wisdom of God. They're going to see the character of God. They're going to see the power of God inside you that they don't have. That's how they will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and therefore they shall be what? The word afraid there is not like afraid of a terrorist. It's talking about reverence, respect, fear, reverence, respect. My last message, I was talking about Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu and how God used him to start a technological revolution in Israel and moved Israel from a socialist economy to what is called today, I've actually studied this, a mixed economy. And Nigeria too has the same. It's just that we haven't developed it. I'll tell you what a mixed economy is. A mixed economy is mixed. That's why it's called mixed. You have a part of the economy that has a socialist part where you take care, the state is able to take care of people's social needs, in particular, healthcare and education. You know? So if people don't have money, if they go to the hospital, they'll be treated. So it's the state. So that that's why I call it socialism. It's a social part, you know. But you must... Netanyahu, because he trained in MIT, he recognized that Israel is not going to go far if they don't have money. They won't be able to get the weapons they need to get to be able to defend themselves against the millions of Arabs that are against them. So they needed to have a free market economy where you allow innovation. You know, we call it capitalist. You know, you allow innovation in a free market so that, you know, goods and services can be produced, and it will bring in foreign investment and it will create wealth. When you have the two of them in an economy operating side by side, you say you have a mixed economy. It's the best kind of economy to have, because you need to take care of poor people. And that is why rich people who are selfish and don't pay their tax are foolish. And they can't see beyond their nose. Because if you are rich and the guy who is living three blocks away is poor, you will not sleep well. There's a saying, you know, that says that the rich man sleeps with one eye open when the poor man is hungry. It's foolish. So what do in a mixed economy? You tax the rich. You don't overtax them to remove the incentive for profit. If you overdo it, it's not good. But you do it within a particular limit so that you can take the taxes to take care of the social part of the economy, to take care of what people need basic, their basics, healthcare, education, food. You take care of those three things, the economy, the people, and the economy, they won't give you too much of a problem. Crime will go down. All kinds of things will go down. And then the rich can get richer and richer and richer. Now, any poor person who wants to cross the divide from the poor to the rich can do so because the opportunity is there. He can get an education. He can decide to become innovative. He too can join the people who are producing the something. That's why you want a producing economy, not a consuming economy. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And they will be afraid of you. Turn to your neighbor and say, who's afraid of you today? It's a rhetorical question. Can you see this is not being fulfilled? But it is going to be fulfilled. And the Lord will make you plenteous in the goods and in the fruit of your body and the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground in the land. And he'll open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto his land in his season, and bless all the work of thy hand. Let's say, bless all the work of thy hand. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not bless some of the work of thy hand. It's bless all the work of thy hand. Because all the work of thy hand would have come from innovation. It would have come from revelation. It would have come from God showing you. Hallelujah! And you will lend unto many nations and you will not borrow. Yesterday we were watching the news, my wife and I. You know, Saudi Arabia, because, after COVID and everything, people started buying oil again. Their budget was 20-something billion dollars in surplus. You are having deficits. Along Shano, it was 24 something billion dollars in surplus. I'll tell you what the Arab states have done that, Nigeria and others need to learn from. When there was oil boom and they were making a lot of money, they too are sinners just like us. They too, they like women, they like beer, they like, forget all the religious facade. They like it. And they do it. Come and see them. When I was in my teenage years, Arab boys used to come to London. The Arabs and the Nigerians were the most notorious. And we used to meet in nightclubs. So I can tell you, an Arab guy, he can blow £5,000 in a night. No problem. No problem. Because there was money. Just like Nigeria too had money then, but you see, their governors, were wise, like Dubai. So they started investing in research and development. And they started doing sensible things. They realized that oil is not going to last forever. They moved and started working in solar energy, and other areas of renewable energy. So they've put a lot of money in that. So now, any excess money like that surplus, they're going to pour it into research, into development. All their children's school in America, they send them to Stanford, MIT, Harvard, and all of that. But they don't stay there. What does America have to offer them? How much job are you going to give him? You give him a job of $100,000. He goes back to Saudi Arabia. They're going to give him a job of $1 million a year. He's not going to stay in America. He's going to go back home and build his economy. It's one of the reasons why the Arab states' eyes are opening through what God used President Trump to do, the Abraham Accord. They realize that fighting Israel is foolishness. That it's better to go and learn technology from Israel and develop. There's a lot of, I can't tell you everything. There's a lot that is in the pipelines I'm talking to you. It's already being done, but they now want to do it on a bigger scale, on an industrial scale. They're now converting seawater to clean water. There's an inexhaustible amount of water in the oceans. Now, you have to develop a system where you can pump that water from the sea. Then they call it desalination. You remove the salt from the water and then it becomes water that can be used. Israel has perfected it. Israel pumps water and they give water to the whole of Israel. Pure water. Israel doesn't have a problem with water even though they're living in the desert. They have enough water for all their irrigation, their farming, they are having their bath, you know, in their kitchen. You know, they have a plant in Haifa, you know, at the coast, and they pump the water from the sea. They remove the salt from it, and then they distribute the water throughout the whole of Israel. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. And they now realize, the Arabs now realize that instead of fighting these people, let's go and learn from them. Abraham Accord. God is moving. I have a question, Dr. Herb Williams. What's the church doing? Isn't it a shame? What's the church doing? We should be big players in that. And we're going to be. The rest of my life, that's all it's dedicated to. I'm not doing things now, you know, to eat and buy ice cream and send my children to school. That has been done. We're going to do things now to generate resources, to get the job done. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Oh, glory be to God. I think we're going to have one more week of this thing. You know, the thing is too good. This is a wonderful message. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. I think I can finish. I won't be too long. Proverbs chapter 8, and look at it. It's talking about the wisdom of God. It is prophetic, both about the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, we looked at it in like one of our last lessons. You know, I, Christ, the wisdom of God. So it's prophetic about Jesus, and you and I, you're in Him. How many people are in Him? Everything the Bible says about Jesus is saying about you. Ever say Christ the wisdom of God? Then say, oh, Olubi, the wisdom of God. Call your own name there. Put your name there. It's a placeholder. Sarah, the wisdom of God. Boyega, the wisdom of God. Rhoda, the wisdom of God. William, the wisdom of God. Because you are in Christ. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of what? Witty inventions. Innovation. All the church is known is for begging. Begging on TV. Begging for money. Begging and disgracing God. Gimmicks. Tricks. Sell anointing oil. Sell cloth. Because you will not tap the wisdom that has been given to you. Because you are proud. If you're not lowly in heart, that's why we can't access the wisdom. Jump to God have mercy on me. Verse 14 through 21. It's talking about the wisdom of God. The choir sang it today. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, that's verse 13. Verse 14. Everyone say, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Look at Israel today. Because of the wisdom God gave Israel. Israel is now the most powerful nation in the Middle East. Nobody dares attack Israel. They've created atom bombs. Everybody knows. The Israeli scientists are some of the most brilliant. Anytime I'm looking for, you know, research papers and everything, when I Google, I say, let me see what happened in Hebrew University in Israel. You know, I was doing some studies some time ago on superconductivity. I said, let me find out superconductivity in Israel. I Googled it. If you see the papers that came out, some of them more advanced than the ones in Harvard and Stanford. Better wake up. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule. Nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. How many people love wisdom here? Give me a wave offering. And those that seek me early shall find me. Those are who get up early in the morning to pray. Am I helping anybody here? I'm about to take off, explode. Riches and honor are with me. How many people want riches and honor? Don't go after the riches, go after the wisdom. You see what wisdom said? He said, riches and honor are with me. They're with wisdom. Real riches is not money. It's wisdom. The guy who has wisdom will make more money than the guy who has money and doesn't have wisdom. He will buy him out. Am I talking to anybody here? My fruit. Ah, no, I'm done yet. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, what durable riches and righteousness. Observe the connection with righteousness. It's not riches that you get by 419. It's not riches you get by prostitution and corruption. That's the kind of riches we're used to here. Sadly, this one is with righteousness. The one that will last generation after generation after generation. My fruit is better than gold. And people are on my side. I said, my fruit is better than gold. Turn to your neighbor and say, whose fruit? The fruit of wisdom. He's talking about wisdom. So he's talking about you and I. My fruit is better than gold. Yea, than what? Fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. These are the things the world is running around for. The Bible says it's in our pocket. I lead in the way of righteousness. See that righteousness again. In the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to do what? Inherit substance, and I will do what? Fill their treasures. Ah! This is the purpose. Now, very quickly, because all these things, we've already covered them before, so I don't have to spend a long time on them. How to get the wisdom of God? Daily, humble yourself by your own free will. It's in one of our prayers. I'm not going to go through it. Daily confession. I am meek and lowly in heart. I choose to fear God. I submit myself to the will of God even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer. Knowing the certainty of His judgment, if I disobey, we looked at all of this before, and the security of His mercy when I obey. Number two, receive great measures through that humility of the life and the power of God, because that's where the light is. The light is inside the life. In Him was the light of life. It is not the life of light. It is the light of life. Everybody say light of life. Oh, I didn't hear you. You're not acting like excited people. Light. The more life you put inside, the more light you're going to get. I feel sorry for those. Thank you. Ah, that's the work of David and all these guys up there. Put it on the screen. Oh, everybody look at it. Everybody look at it. Give a lot of clap offering, somebody. Show the arrows. But don't worry. No, you do that later. You show the arrow. Everyone say, look, humility is at the top. So it's in a clockwise fashion. Humility. Everyone say, humility. Grace. Life. Light. Wisdom. This is very good. You know, but put arrows, you know, later on, after the service. Put arrows and we'll put it we'll put it as an illustration. We'll put it on the mobile app so everybody can see it on your phone. You know? This is it. This is it. So you pray daily. Then pray daily, effectually, in tongues. For a long time, 1 hour. Then frequently throughout the day. That's the key to wisdom. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. He that speaketh not tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit He speaketh mysteries. You want to tap the wisdom of God, you have to do a lot of praying in tongues. I didn't hear amen. Read the word of God daily and listen to anointed preaching and teaching like this one. Regularly, for it is in thy light you will see light. As wisdom comes from the word and the spoken word, you will begin to see light. You begin to get insight that you didn't see before. People are not going to come to church only just to get healed and delivered. They will come for that. But people are going to be coming to church now for wisdom. Isaiah chapter 2. He said, in the last days, the man of the Lord's house will be exalted. And they will say, let us go to the house of the Lord, for He shall teach us of His ways. They won't be coming to see the acts. They'll be coming to learn His ways. Oh! The greatest days of the church are in front of us.
Our great, they're just ahead of us.
We'll become the most powerful financial institution on the earth. We'll buy out the World Bank. I am not talking grammar. Be rich enough. There are already individuals who can try it. There are individuals already who are having 300 billion, 400 billion, you know. But we won't be talking in billions, we're going to be talking in trillions and sextillions. Trillion is 10 to the power 12. And there's 10 to the power 15. And there's 10 to the power 20. That's the money you can't finish until Jesus comes. God gave my wife a word many years ago that we're going to have a Midas touch. He said it will not be a question of what, you know, how much is it. If anything we want, the money to get it will be there. They need 10 aeroplanes to take this day to go to the missionaries in Indonesia. Oh, yeah, give them the 10 planes. We don't have any bite. Seriously. Seriously. You'll be thinking about such things. When you go on leave, you have, you know, casual leave. You go out from work. Maybe you're a banker or you're a doctor. And I say, oh, you need to go on mission field for 1 month or 3 months. You know, take leave without pay. Just take it, you know, for these 3 months. And I say, how much are they paying you? I say, well, you know, they're paying me $2 million a month. I say, okay, don't worry. We'll make it 10. Go. I'm serious. I said, take it as an offering from the Lord. Just take it as a blessing. We make it 10. They give me 2 million. I'll give you 10. Go for 3 months. So I say, even before you go, the 13 million has already been credited into your account. So you don't have to worry about your children. You don't have to worry about your wife. You go there and you face the work of God. I'm getting your attention now. I'm really getting your attention. I mean, you're going to keep being seen. Now, I'm going to close with this. Doing this, God gave me this. Oh, this is my last part of this message. Doing this under covering, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, will give you amplified, everybody scream it, measures of the power and the anointing of God that will cause you to recover all of the potential of the mind of Christ that is inside you. Like David, in unity with his men at Ziklag, recovered all. That's the key, darling. How many want to recover all? I'm talking about recovering all of the ability of the mind of Christ that is available. You see, Satan and the sin nature has stolen it. The Amalekites have stolen it. But God wants us now to recover it. But you cannot do it in isolation. David, as an individual, could not have overcome the Amalekites. No one of that group, as an individual, but collectively, they were able to go and recover all. And I'm going to show you. Bimba, put up the new illustration, the old illustration with the updates on that, and I'm going to show you how this is. You know, a type, the Amalekites, a type of sin nature in the flesh has stolen. You see, the human mind is already capable of doing these things. Don't start yet. Just hold it until I start. It's already capable of doing it. We have 100 billion neurons in your brain. If it's operating optimally, you should not. Reading is not going to be a problem for you. You read something and your mind photographs it. Just like a photographing, you know, photocopy. How do you remember saying how a photocopy machine work? You put the paper on the machine, then a light scans it, and then it dumps it into the memory of the photocopier. When you have so much light in your mind, you read something once and it is scanned into your mind and is there permanently. Anytime you need it, you just go and look it up. Incredible photographic memory that will lead to incredible language learning ability, artistic ability, musical ability, and mathematical ability. You will be what they call in the world a prodigy. Now, no wonder why they will be afraid of you. They'll be wondering, whether, are you human? Well, I am, but I'm also God. I'm also divine. I'm not just human alone. I'm human, yeah, but I'm divine. You see, Jesus was the God who became man. You and I are the men who become like God, partakers of the divine nature. So it's in unity. We cannot do it in isolation. The anointing and the life from the head only flows into those whose hearts are humble and have a right attitude to those who are in leadership. Jesus illustrated it. He said, nobody can do a miracle in my name. Shortly. He said, don't stop him. He said, if he did it and he worked, it means that guy must have a right attitude. He can't speak evil of me. If you have a wrong attitude, it's going to affect the flow. The measure of the flow of the life of God that comes into your own heart. And therefore, it's going to affect your wisdom. It's going to affect your innovation and so on and so forth. That is why this thing has to be done with total submission. Now, we're all used to this illustration, so I'm not going to start it from the beginning. You see there's an extra band. The Bible says, not holding the head from which, by joints and bands, all the body having nourishment ministered. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that, in the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I want to show you how that works. Roll the movie. Now, we're all used to this. This is just the normal life of God flowing into, you've got the inner core, you've got the innermost storage and distribution, the outer core storage and distribution. There's life and power, and it's being pumped throughout your inner man. That thing that's coming out of your mouth there is when there's life and power. The red represents power, the yellow represents life. When you're speaking God's word and it goes into the air, you can see that there's another tube up there that gives a feedback. Some of it circulates back to the body. That is why when we pray, this happens when there's sin, then you confess your sin. Let's quickly run through this. I'm not going to spend time on this. Oh, Jesus, help me. Yes, we'll be through soon. If we confess our sins, the blood of Jesus comes from Jesus, removes the sin substance, restores the flow of life. And then, the life starts being stored and distributed. Some of it is stored, some of it is distributed. Some of it is stored, some of it is distributed. Let me just say this. The reason why some of it is stored is this. When you store, you increase the capacity and the strength of the human spirit. Each day, you prayed yesterday and your, just stop the movie for a minute. Just stop. Okay, let it go on. And then when it gets to where the speaking starts releasing the power and life of God, then just freeze it there. When I prayed yesterday, for example, I do my life scriptures, I fill my heart with the life of God. Then I prayed in tongues, confessed the word, power came out of my mouth, went into my spirit, my soul, body, circumstances, the people I prayed for, God answered the prayer. Then this morning, I wake up now and I go and pray again. Now, today, the amount of life I'm going to get is going to be more than what I got yesterday because the capacity of my spirit has increased. The capacity of your spirit increases daily. So you will enlarge my heart. See, I'll tell you where he's taking us. He's taking us to a place where the capacity of your spirit keeps increasing. It keeps increasing until it gets to the measure. Everybody say it after me. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and greater. I didn't say it to. The hour is coming and now is where you will say to a fig tree, no man eat fruit from thee henceforth forever. And the power capacity will be so much it will dry up in 24 hours. You say it now. maybe 2 years later, you might see drying up. You don't have that capacity yet, but you will. That's why you need to receive life daily. When you receive life, you are increasing two things: capacity and strength. Strength is how far, when you speak, the force with which it is coming out of your mouth. And that determines a lot of things. Then it will also affect your spiritual, your mental capacity and sagacity. Ability to think like God, ability to absorb information, to receive information, to process information, and to apply information. Whether it is business information, whether it is medical information, whether it is law information, whether it is economics information, whether it's engineering information, you become an all-rounder. You know why? God is an all-rounder. I told you about God this morning. God the Father, God the Son, God, before they made anything, they sat down. They thought it in their hearts, then they planned it, and then they simulated it. What doesn't God know? Is it economics? Is it physics? Is it law? Is it art? Is it architecture? Is it music? What does God not know? Then we want to ask the question, what can you not know? Everybody say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We used to say this in Life for Children years ago. There is nothing I cannot learn. There's nothing I cannot master. And there's nothing I cannot excel in. And we see it working in those children. On a smaller degree, but you've seen it. For the past 15, 20 years, the kind of results we get in Life for are unbelievable. You know, people used to wonder, what's the secret here? They thought maybe we had some white men who came to teach us. Everybody there is black. No white man, it's white light. The life of God. They say it every day on the assembly. They pray for them. The children will say, and the teachers too. The teachers too pray in life out, you know. And God will just give them the wisdom, you know. And they will imagine in one class, you know, you have maybe 30 children. You know, 7 of them will get between 7 or 8 A's, you know, 7 to 9 A stars, not A, A stars. Then, you know, the ones who do a little bit averagely, those ones will have a mixture of A stars and A's. Then maybe one person will get many A's and then one B. And that's it. It's unbelievable. But we know it's not a fluke, because it's been reproduced over and over and over and over again. Is this thing the light of God? Find children who come in average. My wife, you know, she's very good with children. You know, average. There's, oh, this child, you know, is special learning and they have a disability. Can't go to life what? Same child, you know, first year, second year, just say the child is now going to the top of the class, you know, commendation chart. You find out at the end of something, there's one particular child I'm remembering now, you know, she, by the time she was leaving Lyford, she had A's, then went on to England and got a first class. Light! Okay, roll the movie and I close the service. So, now, okay, stop it just for a minute. Let the power come out. Oh yeah, let it come out. Roll it for a second. Yeah, stop. Stop. No, don't let it disappear. Roll it. Stop. Good. Now, you see, when you're praying, this is what happens. Either groaning or confession of the word and all of that. Some of the power goes into the air to affect people. Like we're praying for Nigeria and all of that, you know, to do things. But some of it, not all of it, some percentage of it is recycled back by, you see, by that arrow, and it goes back to the body. You see, it comes into the body at the shoulder level. The shoulder there represents symbolically the leadership of the church that has grown to be close to Jesus. Jesus is the head. So the life there begins to flow down to the rest of the body. Each and every one of us is inside this body, You know, we're all this just a magnified picture of each individual. All of us are inside this body. So now, the life, like I shared in a few messages ago, is coming, it says, from the head, Psalm 133, to the beard. From the beard, it goes down onto the hem of the garment. Now, as it is flowing down from the head, the amount of life that enters each individual, each member of the body, depends on their attitude, on how open their heart is. My wife used to speak many years ago about an open womb. You see, if it's only this amount open, that's the amount of life it's going to get. If it's this open, you get more life. So your attitude truly will determine your altitude. It's going to determine your destiny is being determined by your attitude. You open up, then that thing that is, and you see that power is amplified. We're just showing one person here. Now imagine 10,000 of us, 1 million of us, and this power is circulating back. And it's coming to the body. And that amplified Bible power is now coming down into the rest of the body. So each member is getting as much as they are opening up to. And watch this, and I close. It is the amount you open up to and you get that will now determine the degree to which you can recover the mind of Christ. Because the amplified power of that united praying that causes us, like David, that's why he gave us the story of David and the Amalekites. They recovered all because David didn't go as an individual. Then there were some other people who were too weak at first to follow them, but they still got some of the reward. So anybody who is in the body and who has a right attitude and is open to the leadership will get a significant amount of amplified power that will enable them to recover all of the mind of Christ. Stand to your feet. God have mercy on us. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. You're not going to understand. You see? It says, from which all the body by joints and bands. You see, there's a nourishment we get from God directly. We pray, we read our Bible. But there's something else I also get from the body. It is when I put everything together that I get the fullness of what God, then I can recover all. I can't recover all by myself alone. Attitude is very important. I can come to church, pray in the Spirit. Even when we're praying, good morning, Jesus, because it's a body. There's something that's coming from us, the leadership. It's from God, actually, through us. You know, it's coming down. Before, you know, we start praying at 5 o'clock, but some we've woken up since 3:30. Don't lie, scriptures, praying in the Spirit for you. So there's something. So by the time we open the portal at 5 o'clock, do you understand? There's already amplified power that is already being generated on your behalf. All you have to do is open. And it will flow into your heart. So when you're praying in Spirit, maybe you pray for, you know, an hour, 45 minutes, and all that kind of thing. What you're going to be getting is far greater than what you could have got if you got there alone. Am I talking to anybody? No. This is not religion. This is spiritual reality. And God was able to reveal it to me, and God revealed it to me by His grace and mercy, because I got a trained mind. I've done electronic circuits. I've done feedback theory. So immediately I saw the pattern immediately. It's a feedback cycle. For my undergraduate degree, I designed a oscillator. An oscillator is what you use in the lab when you want to have a sine wave or square wave. It produces a signal that oscillates. And what happens is that it has an output without an input. Because it has an infinite gain. Infinite gain means that its amplification is very large. Let's put it like that. And the way we get is that we put some electronic circuits together. Some have positive impedance. The other one has negative impedance. So you calculate it and you give it negative impedance will cancel the positive impedance and become zero. So you just put the power in and the signal will come out. It's like magic. The feedback cycle. If the church will wake up and all of us will do what we should do, in the effectual working in the measure of every part. Everybody repeat that scripture with me. In the effectual working of the measure of every part. Turn to your neighbor and say, including you, including me, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Nothing can stand in our way. There is no force in the universe that can overcome the church of Jesus Christ. Because we are next to God. We are an extension of the Godhead. That's who we really are. Jesus said it. I said, ye are God. Let's talk to God. You won't go here today. Lord, I offer my life to you. That's a song to sing.
Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through.
Oh, use it for your glory.
Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you.
Lifting my praise to you. As a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you.
Lord, I offer you my life.
Oh, sing it, sing it, sing it, minstrel.
Lord, I offer my life to
everything.
Everything happened through.
Oh, yes.
Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you. Lifting my praise to you.
As a pleasing sacrifice.
As a pleasing sacrifice.
Lord, I offer you.
Lord, I offer you.
Things in the past. Sing the choruses, the two of them. The first one.
All that I am.
All that I am.
All that I have. It's worth it, folks.
I lay them down before you.
Oh, Lord,
Lord.
All my regrets.
All my regrets.
All my acclaim.
All my acclaim.
The joy and the pain.
The joy and the pain. Making them yours.
Oh, Lord,
Lord, I offer my life to
everything
you.
Everything
I've been through.
Use it for your glory.
Use it for your glory. Things yet unseen,
visions and dreams,
wishes and dreams that are yet to come true.
All of my hopes,
all of my hopes,
all of my plans,
all of my plans, my heart and my hands, I'll give them to you.
Oh, sing it.
Oh,
Praise the other one to God. I know you've done this in the past. But you see, the Christian life is a continuous thing. A continuous consecration. In the light of what you've heard today, offer Him. For those of us who are in our 60s, senior citizens, what else are you going to do with your life? Don't waste it. Offer it to Him. You're going to get it back hundredfold in this lifetime. Give Him that time in the Word. Give Him time in prayer. Get that mind of Christ back. Recover it. Then He will show you where He wants you to use it. You will become a marvel, a sign, and a wonder to your generation. You will generate wealth that is beyond the thinking of man. Look at what God has done through small Israel. And it is a sign to us in the end time. If we are living under a better covenant, established upon better promises, there is no reason why the church of Jesus Christ in perfection should not outstrip Israel in every parameter you can think of. Not to make them feel bad, of course not. It's to help them. We will always be a blessing to Israel. And many of the Israelites will join us. The Bible says, you know, if the putting away of them be the salvation of the... He said, what shall the receiving of them be except life from the dead? That's where we're going. The day and the hour is coming when this church will have our Israeli brothers. And they will come from Israel, from Tel Aviv, and from Jerusalem to come and worship. And we will go to Jerusalem. And we will go to Tel Aviv to come and worship. And then will come to pass that which is written by the great apostle, that Jew and Gentile become one in Christ Jesus. But we got to show them we got something. Yeah, you look at the Jew will look at you now and say, you know, I'm seed of Abraham, you are not. That's why. Let's talk to God. The song has already sung the prayer, but let's just say it anyway. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. We thank you for your blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and power in sufficient measure. Oh God, open my eyes. Let me see who I really am in you. That I'm not just a man. I am a partaker of the divine nature. And I have the mind of Christ. And Father, by your mercy and grace, by humility, by life, by prayer in the Spirit, by walking in unity and in love, I will recover. I will recover all of the potential of the ability of the mind of Christ and use it for your glory and the blessing of humanity. Help me, Lord. Lord, I offer my life to you in this regard, in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Neka tolomo shala predefresh. Father, thank you. Shala priki tolomo tufre dofresh. Lord Jesus, apredela matufre dolomo tufresh. Lord Holy Ghost, apriki tolomo tufresh. Thank you for your blood, la priki tufresh. For your life, fredishka fredesk. Your power, naka tolomo tufresh. Rimo tolomash, lambrea. Lepre lama tufresh. Lombrea, in and upon our wills, la priki tufresh. Our minds, la pritolomo tufres. Our emotions, la prikitufrides. Our physical bodies, la pritufres. Our circumstances, la pritolomo tufrides. Our regional heavenlies, rinoshufridesk. Insufficient measure, ramatufridesk. In this regard, la pritufrides. Lombridi, ranatufre, lombritufrides. Rinenge, lopritushkufri, lombridi, shakara. In Jesus' name. When the children of Israel came out of the promised land, all those who were 20 years old and under, they were just children. They didn't really understand what was going on. God said, I'm going to preserve them. He said the older generation, sadly, except for Joshua and Caleb, they will not enter the land. 40 years later, that's exactly what happened. It was Joshua, who he was in his 60s then, because he was in his 20s then. See, all the people who are 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, in Kadesh Barnea, by the time he was 40 years later, most of them were in their 70s and in their 80s. That's why God said the number of their years was 70 or 80. He's not talking about us. He's talking about the rebellious Jews. All those who were 30 years old and above, by the time they got to the time to enter the land, 40 years later, most of them had died. They were either in their 70s or in their 80s. You know, those who are strong, maybe 89. Those who are in their 40s would be in their 90s. Those who were in their 60s would be in their 100s. They would already died. So that younger generation that was 20 years old and under didn't see what God did in Egypt. They didn't know the God of Abraham the way Joshua and Caleb knew it. So the younger generation needed the older generation to take them in. So it is now. All of those of us who are born in the 50s and who got born again and understood some of these deeper things, a lot of our children don't understand them to the degree we understand them. So as we're going to the land now, you have to follow Joshua. You have to follow Caleb so you don't get lost in the land of the Amalekites and the land of the Jebusites and the land of the Philistines. Very dangerous time. You need it now. The younger generation, look for a mentor. Look for a Joshua. Look for a Caleb that you can follow because you don't know the way. Because you are not exposed to what we were exposed to. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you.
Amen.
The Lord God gives you peace.
Amen.
God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your parents. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death.
Amen.
So you will live, you will not die.
Amen.
You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord impart on you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to your neighbor and say, you walk in meekness, humility, unity, love, praying in the Spirit, so you recover all of the mind of Christ and have no bones broken. In Jesus' name. Amen.